إني أسألك بحق السائلين عليك وبحق من شاهد هذا، فإني لم أخرج أشرا ولا بقرا ولا رياء ولا سمعة، خرجت اتقاء سخطك وابتغاء مرضاتك. أسألك أن تنقذني من النار، وأن تغفر لي ذنوبي جميعا، إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. ويقول: اللهم اجعل في قلبي نورا وفي لساني نورا، واجعل في بصري نورا وفي سمعي نورا، وأمامي نورا وخلفي نورا، وعن يميني نورا وعن شمالي نورا، وفوقي نورا وتحتي نورا. اللهم أعطيني نورا وزدني نورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، وهو على كل شيء قدير. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله، أرسله رحمة للعالمين، فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه ورضوانه جل وعلا على صحابة محمد أجمعين، آمنوا به وصدقوه وهاجروا معه وإليه وجاهدوا معه وبعده، نشروا راية الإيمان وبثوا دعوة التوحيد في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. فاللهم ارض عنهم واجعلنا جميعا من محبيهم الصادقين في محبتهم، المحسنين المتابعة لهم، وأدخلنا فيما ذكرت يا إلهنا ومولانا من قولك: والذين جاءوا من بعدهم، يعني من بعد الصحابة، يقولون: ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. اللهم اجعلنا جميعا كذلك. هذه الرسالة التي اختيرت لتكون موضع درسنا فيما ييسره الله لنا جل وعلا من اللقاء في هذا المكان، مهمة، رسالة مهمة تتعلق بالتوجيه للاهتمام بهذه العبادة العظيمة التي هي الصلة بين العباد وبين خالقهم جل وعلا. يقف أحدهم في موقف العبد الذليل بين مولاه بأدب وحياء وإعلانا لفقره وحاجته وضعفه، ويخاطب الله جل وعلا. فإنك إذا قرأت الفاتحة وجدت أن فيها خطاب من العبد: إياك نعبد، إياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط. يقول الشيخ الإسلام رحمة الله عليه محمد بن عبد الوهاب المجدد الدعوة السلفية في هذه الربوع من سنة 150 بعد 1000، وقد كانت هذه البلاد كغيرها في كثير من البلدان فيها قبور وفيها تلبيس فيما أمر التوحيد. فقام رحمة الله عليه بتلك الدعوة الكريمة، وهذه الرسالة التي بين أيدينا وتم اختيارها لتكون موضع تلاقينا في هذه الأماكن، هذا المكان، رسالة قيمة يشير رحمة الله عليه إلى ما ينبغي أن يكون عليه العبد الخارج للصلاة، وستجدون أن عامة خطابه إنما هو للرجال، لأنهم المخاطبون بأن يذهبوا إلى المساجد، أما النساء أذن لهن أن يخرجن للمسجد إذا أمنا على أنفسهن وأمنا على أن لا يكون فيهن ما يفسد الناس من تبرج وإظهار للزينة وتعريض أنفسهن للإغراء وغير ذلك. ولذلك يقول رحمة الله عليه يسن الخروج إليها، يعني إلى هذه الصلاة، بخشوع، يعني بإظهار التذلل في هذه الرحلة العظيمة الكريمة. يقول لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا توضأ أحدكم فأحسن وضوءه ثم خرج عامدا إلى المسجد فلو يشبكن بين أصابعه. كيف يصنع؟ إما أن يضع يدا على يد أو يرسلها، لكن لا يشبك الأصابع هكذا، يشبك هذه بهذه، لأن هذا الإنسان في مجالس الرجال وهم كلهم خلق مخلوقون، يتأدب الواحد عند الرجال لا يشبك بين أصابعه أمامهم، فكيف إذا كان يريد أن يذهب ليناجي الله جل وعلا؟ يقول فإنه في صلاة. النبي يقول عن المتهيئ للصلاة والذاهب إليها والباقي في المسجد لينتظر الصلاة القادمة، يقول إنه في صلاة. ولذلك ينبغي لمن خرج للصلاة أن يتأدب بأدب المصلي، لا يكثر التلفت في طريقه، ويتجنب الخوض فيما لا يعنيه، ويفكر في كريم هذه الرحلة، ثم إن الذاهب إلى المسجد للصلاة يكتب له ممشى، لا يرفع قدما إلا رفع له درجة، ولا يحط أخرى إلا حط عنه خطيئة مهما طال الطريق. ويستشعر أنه في هذا الوضع أنه في الصلاة، يعني تطهر، توضأ وضوءا كاملا، ثم خرج متوجها للمسجد، فينبغي أن يظهر عليه أدب المصلي. يقول فإنه في صلاة. يقول وأن يقول إذا خرج من بيته ولو لغير الصلاة، يعني هذا الذكر نافع للذهاب للصلاة أو لتجارة أو لسفر أو لأي أمر يريده مما أباحه الله. يقول ينبغي أن يقول الواحد عند خروجه من البيت: بسم الله، آمنت بالله، اعتصمت بالله، توكلت على الله، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. إعلانه بسم الله يعني إنما يستعين بالله، مسر هذا إنما هو بسم الله، بتوكل عليه واعتماد عليه، ثم إعلانه بأنه آمن بالله يعني آمن بأنه عبد من عبيد الله، فقير محتاج إلى لطف الله. اعتصمت بالله يعني يظهر بأنه في حاجة إلى الله، لا يخرج شجاعا مقبلا على انتصار، لا، يخرج خروج المتعرض للرحمة ربه وعفوه ولطفه، فيقول اعتصمت بالله. توكلت على الله. ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه جل وعلا، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. الإنسان لما ينادى بهذه العبادة يشرع له، عندما يقول الإمام حي على الصلاة، المؤذن حي على الصلاة، يقول لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، يعني أنا لا قدرة لي ولا حول لي إلا بالله بتوفيقه. والنبي يقول عن هذه الكلمة في الحديث الصحيح، قال لي أحد الصحابة: ألا أدلك على كنز من كنوز الجنة؟ قال: بلى يا رسول الله. لم يبادره بالقول، قرب قبل أن نخرج من المسجد، لم يخرج من المسجد، خاف أنه يخرج وهو ما قال، قال: إنك قلت كذا. قال: نعم، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله كنز من كنوز الجنة. فإذا قال الواحد لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، هذا إعلان منه أنه عاجز بحوله وعاجز بقوته أن يصنع شيئا، إلا إن الله جل وعلا وفقه. يقول ثم يقول أيضا: اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أضل أو أضل. يعوذ بالله أن يكون سببا في إضلال الآخرين وتضييعهم، أو أن يتعرض لمن يكون سببا في إضلاله هو. يقول: أعوذ بك أن أضل أو أضل. الضلال هو الضياع عن الطريق المؤدي للأمان. الأرض فيها طرق كثيرة، والنبي لما خط خطا وقال هذا صراط الله، خط عن يمينه ويساره خطوطا أخرى متعرجة، فقال هذا صراط الله، هذا الخط المستقيم، من سار عليه وصل إلى مستقر الإمام. وقال عن الخطوط الأخرى يمنة ويسرة، قال: وهذه السبل. ثم تلا قول الله: وأن هذا الصراط مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. يقول: أو أزل أو أزل أو أزل، أن لا أكون في سبب زلة آخرين عن الطراق الصراط السوي، أو أن يأتي أحد فيزلني عن الطريق. والإنسان إذا ترك الطريق الآمن راح يتخبط، ثم قد ينتهي إلى مهلكة لا نجاة منها. ولا شك أن المهلكة في الضلال أعظم المهالك. قال: أو أظلم. يسأل ربه أيضا أن يعيده من الظلم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في الحديث القدسي الذي رواه الإمام مسلم وغيره: يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا. فالإنسان في هذا الممشى الكريم يقول: اللهم إني أعوذك أن أزل أو أزل أو أظلم أو أظلم. يستعيذ بالله أن يكون ظالما، ويستجير بالله أن لا يتعرض لظلم الآخرين. قال: أو أن أجهل أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. يحب أن يكون في مسيره مشتغلا بذكر الله، غاضبا بصره، متفكرا فيما هو مقبل عليه من المقام الكريم بين يدي رب العالمين. قال ثم قال: وأن يمشي بسكينة ووقار، لا يكون متصعفقا في مشيه، متلفتا يمنة ويسرى، يوم إلى هذا وينادي ذاك، لا، يكون على وضع يناسب العبادة التي ذهب إليها. وأن يمشي بسكينة ووقار. السكينة أن يكون قليل الكلام إلا فيما يستدعي القول من إرشاد ضال، أو أمر بمعروف، أو نهي عن منكر. ووقار. قال وإذا سمعتم الإقامة، إذا سمعتم الإمام المؤذن يقيم الصلاة لا ينطلق الواحد مندفعا مسرعا، لا، يمشي بسكينة. إذا سمعت المقام فامشوا وعليكم السكينة. النبي نهى أن يكون الواحد في حضوره للمسجد إذا سمع الإقامة أن يجري سعي حثيث، لا، يمشي بهدوء فهو في عبادة، ما يرفع قدما إلا يكون درجة يرتفع بها، ولا يضع أخرى إلا ويحط بذلك خطيئة. أما إذا صار يجري امتدت خطواته وتسعى باعه. قال ثم فما أدركتم فصلوا وما فاتكم فاخذوا. والنبي أمر السامع للإقامة أن يمشي هوينا برفق لا يغير مشيته، هو في صلاة ما دام في هذا الوضع. قال وأن يقارب بين خطاه، ليس معناه يقارب بين خطاه يجعل القدم متلاصقة بالقدم، لكن يكون مشيا سهلا لطيفا، لا فيه جموح ولا فيه تماوت، وإن على هيئتها التي هي السكينة والوقار. ثم يقول وما فاتكم، وأن يقارب بين الخطى ويقول اللهم أني أسألك بحق السائين عليك. الله جل وعلا يقول وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم. والنبي لما سأل قال ما حق الله على العباد؟ حق العباد على الله. قال حقهم عليه ألا يعذب من لم يشرك به شيئا، من أخلص له التوحيد. وبحق ممشاي، يعني إن كان ممشاه حقيقة يبتغي به وجه الله فحقه كريم، وأما إن كان ممشاه رياء وسمعة فلا شيء فيه، لا فائدة فيه، لأن المرائي يقال لهم في الجزاء اذهبوا إلى من كنتم تراؤونهم هل يأخذون لكم حاجة. يقول ولا سمعة، ثم عاد يريد يعلن لربه يقول اللهم إني يعني خرجت ابتغاء سخطك، يعني خوف عذابك وغضبك وابتغاء مراتك، أسألك أن تنقذني من النار وأن تغفر لي ذنوبي جميعا، إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا لا أحد يستطيع غفران الذنوب سوى الله، الله هو الغفور الرحيم، لكنه جل وعلا هو شديد العقاب لمن يعصيه. قال ويقول اللهم اجعل لي في قلبي نورا. هذا الدعاء ينبغي للواحد أن يحرص عليه دائما، لأن القلب إذا صار في حال نور وجه الأعضاء والجوارح والحواس كلها إلى الخير. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب. فالإنسان محتاج لسؤال الله جل وعلا أن ينور قلبه، ونور القلب إنما يكون بالإيمان والتقرب إلى الله جل وعلا بما يحب من الطاعات والبعد عما يكرهه الله جل وعلا ولا يريده. فاللهم اجعل في قلبي نورا وفي لساني نورا واجعل في بصري نورا وفي سمعي نورا وأمامي نورا وخلفي نورا وعن يميني نورا وعن شمالي نورا وفوقي نورا وتحتي نورا، اللهم أعطني نورا وزدني نورا. هذا الخير العظيم الذي ينبغي للمسلم في توجهه لمثل هذه العبادة أن يحرص عليه، حسن للواحد أن يحفظ مثل هذا الكلام حتى لو لم يكن ذاهبا للصلاة. إذا صلح القلب واستنار صار لا يوجه العين إلا للنظر المأذون به، لا يوجه الأذن إلا لاستماع ما لا يكرهه الله ولا رسوله، لا يوجه الخطى إلا لما يأذن به الله جل وعلا أو لا ينهى عنه ما فيه مصلحة. إذا نورت للإنسان حواسه، قلبه وسمعه وبصره ولسانه، وصار النور نور الإيمان، وليس نور السراج، نور الإيمان، الله لما ذكر النور ذكر جلالته، فيحرص المسلم على الإكثار من مثل هذا الدعاء في كل خروج يخرج إلى الصلاة، ثم يتذكر وهو خارج إلى الصلاة أنه سوف يذهب إلى أشرف العبادات التي قال الله عنها إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. إذن فليوطن نفسه في مسيره أن يكون مفكراً كيف يعبد الله، كيف يطيع الله، كيف يتجنب المعاصي. هذه الجمل كلها فيما يتعلق بالآداب، آداب المشي إلى الصلاة. المرأة، قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا استأذنت امرأة أحدكم المسجد فلا يمنعها وبيتها خير لها، وقال في الحديث الآخر لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. المرأة كلما كانت أحرص على عدم الخروج من البيت إلا لما تدعو الحاجة الملحة إلى الخروج إليه، كلما كان ذلك أفضل. صلاة المرأة في بيتها أفضل من صلاتها في المكان الواسع، وإن كانت يجوز لها أن تذهب إلى المسجد، لكن ليست كالرجل. الرجل الذي تهدد الذين لا يذهبون إلى الصلاة مع الجماعة أن يحرق عليهم بيوتهم في النار. والله لما ذكر المساجد قال في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه، يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلين تجارة ولا بين عن ذكر الله. ما قال رجال ونساء، لا، لكن النساء أذن لهن إذن، وأما الرجال لا، الرجال لا صلاة لجار المسجد، يعني لا صلاة كاملة إلا في المسجد. ليس معناه لا صلاة، الصلاة باطلة 100%، لا، وإنما الكمال لا يكون إلا في المسجد. ولذلك تفضل صلاة الرجل في المسجد مع الجماعة صلاة الفذ 27 درجة. هذا مجمل ما يتعلق بهذه الأصل التي سمعناها. وينبغي أن يحرص الإنسان على الإكثار من الذهاب إلى المسجد كلما تيسرت له الأمور. النبي ذكر عن السبعة الذين يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله، الرجل المعلق قلبه بالمساجد. حتى في نفس هذا الموقع ما قال المرأة التي قلبها معلق بالمساجد، لأن المرأة مطلوب منها بقدر الإمكان أن تقر في بيتها إلا عندما تدعو الحاجة إلى الخروج كعمل لا يبتذلها وهي محتاجة إليه، أو قضاء حوائجها الخاصة بها كأن تكون في زراعتها أو في رعي ماشيتها أو غير ذلك الشيء الذي لا يعرضها للشر والفتن. فنسأل الله جل وعلا أن يوفقنا جميعا لما يحبه ويرضاه.
The Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala began by mentioning the name of Allah We praise him and we seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from the evil of our deeds. To Allah is the dominion, he is alone and he has no partners. We praise him and he is able to do all things. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that Allah sent as a mercy to mankind. He gave the message, he fulfilled the trust, and he fought in the way of Allah, the true fighting. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla be pleased with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who believed in him and fought with him and migrated with him and migrated to him. And they fought with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they fought after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to spread the flag of Iman and faith. And they spread Tawheed in the East and in the West. May Allah Azza wa Jalla be pleased with them, and may Allah make us from amongst those who truly love them and follow them, and those who say after them, O Allah, forgive us and our brothers who have preceded us in faith, and do not place within our chest any dislike for those who believe. Then he mentioned that this treatise, which was selected for this lesson, we ask Allah to give us the ability and the ease to meet in this particular lesson. This treatise is important because it relates with this tremendous act of worship. This act of worship is the relationship between the servant and their creator. When the individual stands in front of his Lord in a submissive, humble state, and he should do so with the proper etiquettes, and he should do so with shyness, and he should declare his need for Allah Azza wa Jal and his weakness. When the individual stands in front of Allah for the prayer, he is speaking to his Lord. And that's why you find in Surah Al-Fatiha, when the individual is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, he is speaking to his Lord. It is you I worship. It is you I seek your help, to the end of Surah Al-Fatiha. Then the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned that Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab Rahim Allah Ta'ala, he is the reviver of Da'wah Salafiyyah in the century that he was in. And he mentioned the year 1151. And at that time, this land that we are in, this Jazeera al-Arabiya, this Arabian Peninsula at that time, it was like the other lands at that time. There were graves that were being worshipped, and the affair of Tawheed was something that wasn't known and spread amongst the people. So at that time, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he stood and began to revive this da'wah, this blessed da'wah, and called the people to the Tawheed. That, or this particular treatise that we're studying tonight, that which is in front of us, is a very important treatise. And it informs of that which the what is befitting for the individual that leaves the house to pray. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the majority of that which is in this treatise as it relates to Salat is pertaining to the men, because they are the ones that should leave the house to attend the prayer in the masjid. And the women, it is allowed for them to pray in the masjid, but as an obligation, it is mandatory upon the men. And it is permissible for the women to do so as long as they are not in a state that would cause disruption or evil, such as them beautifying themselves when they leave the house and the likes. They should not be in a state of beautification and the likes. So the author of the book mentioned that it is from the sunnah that when an individual leaves to go to the masjid for prayer, he should do so in a state of humbleness. And the Shaykh mentioned that the person should, it should be apparent that he is humble and he is submissive. because he should understand that he is making a trip, a tremendous trip, to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the individual should not cross his, or he should not, you know, cross his fingers. And the Shaykh mentioned, but rather he should let them go, or he should place one hand on the other. And you have, if men are in the company of one another, you find that they do not cross their fingers like this. From the etiquettes of men sitting amongst one another, they don't do so. So what is the state when an individual is going to call on his Lord? So the individual leaves his home for the purpose of praying in the masjid. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that this is from the etiquettes that we're going to speak about. And this was mentioned by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about the etiquette of an individual that's going to pray. That the individual should, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned that when the person leaves, from the time the person leaves his home, and when he enters into the masjid, while he's waiting for the prayer, he is actually in the prayer itself. So if that's the case, the person should have the etiquettes of one who is praying from the moment that he leaves his home. From the moment that he leaves his home, he should have the etiquettes of one who is praying. He should not think about the dunya, he should not think about anything that doesn't concern him, but his focus should be on the prayer itself, because he is in a state of prayer. And because of that, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that the individual that leaves his home for the prayer, he does not place a foot down except that Allah removes an evil deed, and he does not lift his foot except that Allah replaces that with a good deed. Or he does not lift one foot except that Allah removes an evil deed, and he puts a foot down except that Allah replaces it with a good deed. So this informs you that the individual is in a state of worship from the very moment that he leaves his home. No matter how long the journey is, no matter how long it takes for him to reach the masjid, he is in a state of worship. And the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned the importance. You have the narration where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned if a person performs the complete ablution and then leaves his home to pray, that he does not place a foot down except that Allah removes a bad deed, and he places the other foot down, Allah replaces it with a good deed. So the individual is in a state of worship. Then the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, or the author mentioned the fact that, where the author mentioned, إِذَا خَرَجَ مِن بَيْتِهِ وَلَوْ لِغَيْرِ الصَّلَاةِ, if the person leaves his house, even if he's not praying, even if he's not going to the prayer. So the Shaykh mentioned, so whether the person is going to the prayer, or whether he's going for some type of business, or whether the individual is going for a journey, as long as the individual is going to something, to do something which is permissible in the religion, the individual should say this supplication. In the name of Allah, I believe in Allah. So the individual is declaring that his leaving the home is done in the name of Allah, and he's seeking the assistance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he believes in Allah Azza wa Jal. So in this journey that the individual is embarking upon by leaving his home, he announces that he believes in Allah, he announces that he puts his trust in Allah, and that he's seeking the assistance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. The individual says, I put my trust in Allah. So this informs you that when the individual is leaving his home, he should have in mind that he's putting his trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Shaykh mentioned that the individual, in doing so, by saying, in the name of Allah, I believe in Allah, I put my trust in Allah, the individual is informing that he is in need of his Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala. He is in need of the mercy of Allah. He is in need of the gentleness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when the individual leaves his home, he's not leaving his home in a prideful manner. He's not doing so showing that he's strong and that he's prideful and the likes. But rather the individual is humbling himself and he's submitting himself, and he's declaring that he is in total complete need of his Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Likewise he says, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا كُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, there is no change nor any might except by way of Allah. When the individual, and this has been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when you hear the adhan being called, when the muadhin, the caller to prayer, says hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, the individual, it is legislated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the individual should say, there is no change nor is there any might except by way of Allah. So the individual knows that there's no change nor is there any might except by way of Allah. It took place during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was with one of his companions in the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companion, should I not inform you from, or should I not inform you of one of the treasures of paradise? And the individual said, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will inform you before we leave the masjid. And right before they left the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still did not inform the individual. So the companion, he feared that they would leave the masjid without being informed of the treasure from the treasures of Jannah. So he said, ya Rasulullah, you informed me that you would tell me about the treasures of Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this statement, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, there is no change nor is there any might except by way of Allah. This is from the treasures of Jannah. So when the individual says this statement, he's informing that he has no ability to do anything except if Allah decrees it and except if Allah allows the individual to perform that action. And then the individual says, I seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal, that I lead astray or I am led astray. So the individual is seeking refuge in Allah from leading people astray. He does not want to be the reason for leading people astray, and likewise he does not want to be led astray. And being led astray is that the individual deviates from the correct path. He deviates from the correct path. So he's calling on Allah Azza wa Jal, asking Allah to make him firm. He's calling on Allah Azza wa Jal, asking and requesting from his Lord to make him firm on the straight path. He does not want to deviate from the correct path, nor does he want to lead others astray from the correct path. So the reality is, when the individual leaves his home, he should walk straight. He should look straight. He should not look to the left, look to the right. He should not involve himself in matters that do not concern him, but rather the individual is focused on walking directly to his destination. As it was mentioned by Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمٍ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا سُبُلًا. As Allah SWT mentioned in the Quran, and this is my straight path, so follow it and do not be deviated, or do not follow the deviant paths. Or I slip, and the individual says that, you know, it's similar to the first one, that he does not slip, nor does, and he does not lead others to slip from the correct path, nor does he slip from the correct path. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that if an individual deviates from the correct path and the safe path, this individual would become destroyed. If the individual deviates from the correct path and the straight path, the individual would become destroyed. Also, the individual requests from Allah Azza wa Jal that they do not oppress, nor do they receive oppression. And you have in the Hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, the Hadith al-Qudsi, which is reported in Sahih Muslim and others, where Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, I have forbidden oppression upon myself and I have made it forbidden upon you, so do not oppress one another. So this informs us it is not permissible for us to oppress. So the individual seeks refuge in Allah from oppressing others and him being an oppressor. And likewise, the individual seeks refuge in Allah from being treated as someone who is ignorant, or making others ignorant or himself being ignorant. So the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that which is incumbent is that the individual busies himself with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal from the time he leaves his home and he's going to the prayer. He busies himself with the remembrance of Allah and he stays in a state that as an individual who is approaching the prayer. By doing so, he remembers Allah, he lowers his gaze, he only thinks about that which he's about to approach, which is the prayer itself. وَعَلَيْهِ السَّكِينَةِ. He should be in a state of tranquility. He should be tranquil. He should not be prideful. He should not rush. He should not look to the right and to the left. He should be focused. He should be in a state of an individual who is about to approach the prayer. That's what the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala mentioned. He should be in a state of an individual who is about to approach the prayer. And sakina and waqar, it means that the individual, one is that the individual, he does not speak much. He only speaks about that which has importance. And he is submissive and tranquil. Now, and the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala mentioned that a person, when they are approaching the prayer, they should not speak about it, anything which is not important. They should only speak about that which is important, such as guiding someone who has gone astray, or enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. But worldly affairs, the person should not be involved in it when he's on his way to the prayer. And then, and he mentioned about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi mentioned, if a person hears the call to prayer, the iqama, the second call to prayer, the person should not race toward the prayer. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, verily, you are in a state of prayer. You are in ibadah. So as long as you have already started the ibadah, there's no reason for you to rush to the prayer when you hear the iqama. And likewise, he mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, the hadith that we mentioned, the aforementioned hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said that the person, when he puts his foot down, Allah removes a bad deed. And when he puts his other foot down, Allah replaces it with a good deed. So as long as that's taking place, you shouldn't rush to the prayer, because that decreases the amount of steps that you would take to the masjid. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, and the author mentioned that there, so that which you reached, meaning when you reach the masjid and the prayer has already begun to take place, whatever you have caught, then you catch it, and whatever you missed, then you make it up. So that informs you that the individual should not race toward the prayer. And so that's what is intended, is that the individual should walk to the prayer with submission and tranquility. He should be calm. He should not race toward the prayer, even if he feels that he's going to miss a portion of it. And then the individual says, as Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, I ask you, by the right of the one who requests. And he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah mentioned in the Quran, call on me and I will ask you. And likewise, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, where the Prophet mentioned the right of the servant upon his Lord, is that Allah does not punish the person who worships him. So with that being the case, the individuals should call on Allah Azza wa Jal. So in this statement, the individual is saying, I ask you by the right of the one of the people who ask. So you call on Allah Azza wa Jal. And this shows that the individual does not involve himself in any form of shirk. He's not set up partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the right of Tawheed, that the person does not set up any partners. This is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, that you do not set up any partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the individual, he mentions that he has not left with evil, nor pride, nor seeking that people look at him, nor people listen to him. So this is correct, because if the individual has left his home with pride and seeking that people praise him, then he has no rights upon Allah Azza wa Jal. He has no rights upon Allah Azza wa Jal, nor will he be rewarded for his walking to the masjid. Because it would be said on Yawm al-Qiyamah, to the people that seek pride in their actions and they seek the praise of the creation in their actions, it would be said to them, go to those people that you have sought them to praise you in your deeds, and see, do they have a reward for you? And if the individual who does the deeds for the praise of the people, he would be told to go to the people and seek the reward from them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, meaning there is no reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the individual has not, or the individual says in this supplication, I have left seeking protection from your anger and seeking your pleasure. So the individual, they have fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. They have reverence and they have fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they know that only Allah can protect them from the hellfire. And they know that only Allah Azza wa Jal is the one to forgive the sins. For verily Allah Azza wa Jal is the all-forgiving, and likewise Allah is severe in punishment to those who disobey Him. And then the individual says, "Oh Allah, I ask that you place light in my heart, that you place light in my tongue, that you place light in my vision, that you place light in my hearing, that you place light in front of me and behind me and on the right and on the left and above me and below me. Oh Allah, give me light and increase me in light." The Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, that it's befitting that the individual makes this supplication. First starting that Allah places light in your heart. Because if the heart is illuminated and has light, then this light would spread in all of the parts of the body, in all of the limbs, this light would spread. The person would have complete light in his body. As it was mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, "Inna fil jasadi la mudghah." Verily, in the body there is a piece of flesh. If this piece of flesh is rectified, the rest of the body would be rectified. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that this is the heart. So the Shaykh mentioned, it is incumbent that the individual asks Allah and requests from his Lord to illuminate his heart with light. Because this would be the reason why the rest of his body would become illuminated. And how is this done? By the individual racing toward that which is pleasing to Allah and seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. By fulfilling that which is obligatory and adhering to the obligations and staying away and distancing himself from that which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So the individual requests from Allah Azza wa Jal to place light in his heart and in all parts of his body. So the individual, when he leaves his home for the purpose of the prayer, this individual should be diligent in making this supplication. He asks Allah to make light in his heart to the end of that which is mentioned here. And the individual understands that if this piece of flesh in his body is corrected, then the rest of his body would be corrected. If the heart is corrected, then the eyesight would become corrected, and the individual would only look at that which is pleasing to Allah. If the ears are corrected, the individual would only listen to that which is pleasing up to Allah. If the feet have light, then the feet would only walk toward that which is permissible and that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So because of that, the individual, all of his limbs would have light. His heart, his hearing, his sight, his tongue, and the rest of his body, all of it would have light. And what is this light? This is the light of Iman. This is the light of faith that is present in the individual. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, so the individual, when he's leaving his house for prayer, he should keep all of this in mind. And he should think about the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And by doing so, the person would abstain from sins and transgression. Because Allah Ta'ala mentioned, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar," that verily salat prevents the person from sin and transgression. So in order for the person to have the salat that prevents you from sin and transgression, the person has to be in the mind state of the prayer when he leaves the home. The person should think, how am I going to worship Allah? How am I going to pray to Allah? How am I going to speak to my Lord, to Barakah Ta'ala? Then the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned, as for the female, it is permissible for the female to leave the home to pray, but the home is better for her. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, لَا تَمْنَعُوا إِمَاءَ اللَّهِ مَسَّاجِدَ اللَّهِ وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, do not prevent the female slaves, any of the females, do not prevent the females from the masjid, but verily their homes are better for them. So indeed, the woman, it is permissible for her to leave the home to pray in the masjid, but she should try her best not to leave because the home is better for her. And it is permissible for her to go to the masjid, but the home is better for her. So all of that which has been mentioned, it is for the men, but it is also permissible for the women to do so as well. And it's an obligation upon the men, because there's a hadith that says there's no salat for the man who lives near the masjid but doesn't attend the masjid. There's a hadith that says this, there is no salat for the man who lives near the masjid and doesn't attend the prayer in congregation. The Shaykh said the meaning of that hadith, meaning the salat is incomplete. It is valid, but it is incomplete. He doesn't get the complete reward for that. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, the congregational prayer is 27 more rewards, or 27 degrees higher in reward than the person who prays at home. So it shows you that the man that prays at home, his salat is valid, but it is deficient and incomplete in reward. This is a summary of that which we read in this particular lesson tonight. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, it is befitting that an individual increases in going to the masjid. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned about the individual, the seven people who would be shaded on the Day of Judgment by the shade from Allah Azza wa Jalla, by the shade that Allah provides on the Day of Judgment. And from amongst those individuals is a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. The Shaykh mentioned, notice that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the man whose heart is attached to the masjid. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not mention the female whose heart is attached to the masjid. So that shows you that it is preferred that the female prays. That shows you that it is preferred that the female prays at home, but she also gets a reward for attending the masjid. And the Shaykh mentioned, obviously it is permissible for the female to leave the home if there is a reason for her to do so, such as she has to work, she doesn't have anyone to support her, so she has to support herself, or she has to take care of her personal affairs, or she has to tend to her business, for example, if she has a farm, or she has her own business. It is permissible for her to leave to go to the masjid, but she should not put herself in a dangerous situation. This is that which the Shaykh mentioned in tonight's lesson. As-salamu alaykum wa barakallahu fiqh. يقول السائل حفظكم الله تعالى هناك من يأتي من أمريكا أو بريطانيا ويقيم في السعودية ويظن أنه مسافر فإذا فاتته الصلاة في المسجد يصليها قصرا في البيت فهل يجوز له هذا الفعل؟
لا هذا لا يجوز من علم أنه يقيم في البلد أكثر من 4 أيام الصحيح من كلام العلماء أنه له حكم المقيمين إذا صلى مع الجماعة صلى معهم تابعا للإمام وإذا لم يدرك الجماعة صلى كصلاة المقيمين وهذا هو مذهب الإمام مالك والشافعي لم يها 4 وأحمد ولكن لأبي حنيفة رحمة الله عليهم جميعا قال أنه يجوز له ولو أراد أن يجلس 15 يوما وما عداها فهو يرى ما يراه بقية الأئمة فينبغي لمن قدم إلى بلد ما وهو يعلم أنه يقيم أكثر من 4 أيام لا يسافر من البلدة التي دخلها أو المكان الذي حل فيه ينبغي أن يصلي صلاة الحضر المقيمين النبي ما أمر الذين يأتون إلى المدينة يجلسون أياما يقول لهم إن أدركتم الصلاة معنا صلوها وإلا فصلوا قصرا. لا، لو كان الأمر كذلك لأمر من لم يدرك الجماعة أن يصلي قصرا.
أحسن الله إليك. The individual is asking if a person, there's some people that come from America or from the UK and they feel that they are not from the country, so they're a traveler. So if they pray in the masjid, they complete their prayers. But if they pray at home, they shorten their prayers. Is this correct? The Sheikh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, this action is not correct and it is not permissible. If an individual travels to a particular land and they know that they're going to stay for more than 4 days, that which is correct from the disagreement of the scholars is that the individual prays the complete prayer as if he is a resident. If he prays in the masjid with the imam, he follows the imam. But if he prays at home, meaning he misses the prayer in the masjid and he prays at home, then he prays the complete prayer as a resident. This is the opinion of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala. And you have Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala. He felt that it is 15 days. That if a person knows that he's going to stay more than 15 days, then he completes the prayer. But that which is correct is that if the person knows he's going to stay more than 4 days in that same land that he has traveled to, then the individual has to pray the prayer of the resident. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he during his time, you had individuals that came to Medina from outside of Medina and they were going to stay there for a period of time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not instruct those individuals that if you pray with us, complete your prayer, but if you miss the prayer with us and you pray alone, then shorten your prayer. So this shows you that it is not permissible for a person to do as stated in the question.
يقول السائل هل يجب على القارئ للقرآن أن يحرك لسانه وشفتيه؟
نعم، ولا يسمى قارئا للقرآن إلا إذا أخرج الحروف مخارجها من الفم، وأما بس ينظر فهذا ليس بقارئ للقرآن قراءة، وإنما يفكر. الذي يقرأ القرآن له بكل حرف 10 حسنات. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف، وإنما ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. ينبغي الواحد وهو يقرأ أن يفكر بتحريك لسانه وشفتيه وفق ما تقتضيه مخارج الحروف، أنه يحصل على ثواب هذه القراءة.
Is it incumbent upon the individual who is reciting the Quran to move his tongue and lips? The Sheikh mentioned said yes. The individual is not considered to be, or it is not considered that the individual is reciting except that he moves his tongue and his lips, and that the words are being said from his mouth. If the individual is merely looking at the Quran, then this is not said, it is not said that he is reciting the Quran, but he's thinking of the Quran. And it's incumbent that the individual does so in order to receive the reward of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, with every letter, the person gets 10 hasanat, 10 rewards. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I don't say that alif lam mim is a letter, but alif is a letter, lam is a letter, and mim is a letter. So when the person recites the Quran and moves, or the letters come out of their mouth, the person will get the reward. So the person, when he's reading the Quran, he should keep in mind that in order for him to get the reward, he has to say that which he is reading.
يقول السائل هل يجوز للرجل أن يصلي الصلاة الفريضة في المسجد ثم يرجع إلى البيت ويؤم زوجته؟
يجوز ذلك، لكن على أساس أن صلاته التي أداها في المسجد هي الفريضة، وصلاته تأتم به زوجته بالنسبة له نافلة. لكن فيما يتعلق بصلاة العصر هو إذا أدى صلاة العصر لا يجوز له أن يصلي نافلة، وإذا أدى صلاة الفجر لا يجوز له أن يصلي نافلة بعدها، على حسب ما تقتضيه السنة في مواضع النهي.
The individual is asking, is it permissible for a man to pray his obligatory prayer in the masjid and then he returns to his home and he leads his wife in prayer? The Shaykh mentioned, حفظ الله تعالى, it's permissible. It's permissible for him to do so. But what should take place is that that which he prays in the masjid is the obligatory prayer, and that which he prays at home in terms of leading his wife is the supererogatory prayer. But the individual should not do so with Salat al-Asr and Salat al-Fajr. Because if he prays Salat al-Asr in the masjid, then after that he should not perform a supererogatory prayer, and likewise Salat al-Fajr, because this is in accordance to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يقول السائل هل يجوز للمرأة التي تزوجت هل يجوز للمرأة التي ما تزوجت من قبل وليس لها أقارب من المسلمين هل يجوز لها أن تتزوج نفسها؟
إذا لم يكن لها ولي وليست في بلد فيها ولاية شرعية ولا مركز إسلامي يقوم بشؤون المسلمين، في هذه الحالة جاز لها لأنها تكون معذورة. فإذا قبلت الشخص زوجا لها فإنها لا تملك التصرف أيضا إلا بحصول طلاق.
Individuals asking if a female has not married before and she does not have relatives, and I believe male relatives, is it permissible for her to conduct her own marriage? And the Shaykh mentioned, حبيب الله تعالى, if the woman has no ability to get a guardian, a male guardian, and she's in a country that does not have Islamic legislation, and there is absolutely no Islamic center which handles the affairs of the Muslims, in this situation, it is permissible for her to be the one to marry herself, because she doesn't have any choice in this matter. She doesn't have any choice in this matter. Similar, the affair of talaq. يقول السائل إذا أتى شخص إلى المسجد وامتلأ المسجد فهل يجوز للشخص أن يصلي خارج المسجد؟
إذا لم يجد مكانا في المسجد يصلي فيه وتعذر عليه أن يقتدي بالإمام إلا أن يصف معه ولو خارج المسجد فلا حرج في ذلك، لأن الله يقول فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم، والنبي يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم.
وهل يجوز له أن يصلي بوحده أو لازم يكون معه؟
إذا لم يحصل له أحد بتاتا وصار إما أن يدرك الصلاة فيصلي وحده، وإما أن لا يجد أحد فلا يصلي، لا فليصلي، لأنه هذا ما الذي يقدر عليه.
Individuals asking if a person approaches the masjid and the masjid is completely full, is it permissible for the person to pray outside of the masjid? The Shaykh mentioned, حبيب الله تعالى, if the person approaches the masjid and there's no place for him to pray, and the individual does not have the ability to reach the side of the imam, meaning he can line up on the side of the imam, but even that is not possible for the individual, then it is permissible for the individual to pray outside of the masjid in a row. Then I said to the Shaykh, what if there's no one to pray with him? And the Shaykh mentioned, حفظ الله تعالى, if there's absolutely no chance for anyone to pray with him and the person wants to reach the prayer, then he can pray by himself following the imam. He can pray by himself outside of the masjid following the imam, because the Prophet ﷺ said, fear Allah, or Allah mentioned in the Quran, fear Allah to the best of your ability. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that which you have the ability to do, do. So the individual, if he doesn't have the ability to have someone join him, then he would pray by himself.
هذه المسألة فيها خلاف، لكن الراجح هو هذا الذي ذكرته، وهو اختيار شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية وعدد من العلماء.
And he mentioned in that last issue about praying by himself, he's trying to reach the congregation. He said this, there's اختلاف, there's this disagreement amongst the scholars in this issue, but this is the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and other scholars from amongst the Salaf. يقول السائل هل يجوز لمن يصلي أن يقرب نفس السورة أكثر من مرة؟
ينبغي للمصلي أن يحرص على عدم تكرار السورة، لكن لو فعل لا تبطل الصلاة. النبي ما كان يقرأ السورة ثم يعيدها وهو يصلي، والله يقول لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة.
The individual is asking, is it permissible for the person who is praying to repeat the same surah more than once? And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, what's befitting is that the person does not repeat the surah more than once. But if the person did so, it would not invalidate the prayer. But this was not the action of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ would not recite a complete surah and then recite it over again. And verily Allah mentioned, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verily you have the message of Allah, the best example. يقول السائل كيف أشجع ابني الذي بلغ عمره 16 سنة يعني مراهق كيف أشجعه على حضور الصلاة في المساجد؟
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال مروا أولادكم يعني من بنين وبنات بالصلاة لسبع إذ يعني إذا أكمل الواحد منهم سبع سنين يؤمر بأن يصلي لكن لا يضرب يؤمر ويلح عليه فإذا كم أكمل عشرا يؤمر وإذا لم يطع يضرب لكن ضربا لا يجرح لحما ولا يكسر عظما وإنما يؤلم
نعم. Individual is asking how do I encourage my son to pray in the masjid. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet said, order your children to pray at the age of seven. So at the age, once the child reaches the age of seven, you should order the child to pray, but you shouldn't be strong and staunch in your order. And then if he reaches the age of 10, the Prophet said, if they reach the age of 10, then hit them. So the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, it is permissible for you to hit them, but you should not do so in a very strong manner. It shouldn't bruise him. It shouldn't leave a bruise, nor should it cut his skin, but it should just hurt him. So this is the encouragement. يقول السائل إذا تأخر المصلي عن الصلاة ودخل المسجد والإمام في الركوع فهل يجوز له أن يركع ويمشي إلى الصف؟
لا يجوز. النبي نهى ذلك الصحابي الذي دخل المسجد والذي يركع فركع وذهب يمشي فالنبي لما صلى قال من فعل ذلك؟ فقال ذلك الصحابي أنا يا رسول الله. قال لا زادك الله حرصا ولا تعود يعني لا تصنع هذا مرة ثانية.
Is it permissible for the individual who has missed a portion of the prayer and he enters into the masjid and the imam is bowing? Is it permissible for that individual to bow before he reaches the row and then walk to the row while he's bowing? The Shaykh mentioned it is not permissible because verily the Prophet ﷺ forbade the companion that did so during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. This took place when the Prophet ﷺ was in ruku' and a man entered into the masjid and he bowed and walked to the row. At the end of the prayer, the Prophet ﷺ said, who did that? And the man said, I did. The Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah increase you in knowledge, do not repeat it. So that shows you that it is not permissible.
يقول السائل هناك من يرفض هناك من أولياء الأمور من يرفض من يأتيه لمخاطبة بناته وذلك لسبب وجود معاصي فهل للولي حق أن يرفض من يرى عليه أثر المعاصي؟
يجب على ولي أمر الفتاة أن يمنعها ويرفض الخاطب إذا لم يكن على دين لأنها أمانة المرأة الفتاة أمانة في عنق ولي أمرها عليه ألا يسهل لها إلا على من يثق بحفظ دينها عليها.
The question is there are some individuals who they're responsible, they're guardians for women and they reject men or they reject individuals who approach them to marry the females because of sins that they see upon those individuals. Is it the right of the guardian to reject these males? The Sheikh mentioned it is obligatory upon the guardians of the women to restrict and to prevent those women from marrying individuals who do not have, who are not upright in their religion, who are not upright in their religion, because this is a trust. This is a trust upon the necks of those guardians. So the guardian should not allow anyone to marry the female except the individual who you trust his religion and his uprightness.
يقول
السائل هناك في بريطانيا بعض الناس يقول إذا لم نسمع الأذان من بيوتنا فليس واجب علينا أن نذهب إلى الصلاة.
إذا كان المسجد بعيدا ويشق على الناس الذهاب إليه مشقة حقيقية جاز لهم إذا لم يذهبوا أن يصلوا في بيوتهم إذا لم يكن هناك مساجد والمسجد يحتاج إلى جهد كبير فلا. وأما كون لم يسمع المقصود فيه إن الإنسان إذا سمع يعلم أن المسجد ليس بعيد يمكن المسجد ما يحضر المؤذن فلا يؤذن قل صلوا في بيوتكم لا المهم أن تعد هذه الصلوات من الرجال في المساجد.
Individuals asking in England, you have some people that say if we do not hear the adhan, it is not incumbent upon us to pray in congregation in the masjid. The Sheikh answered Habib Allah Ta'ala, if the masjid is very far and getting to the masjid brings about a great level of harm or difficulty, Afwan, brings about a great level of difficulty, then it is permissible for the individual to pray in his home. For example, if there's no masajid in his area or if they're very far, then it is permissible for the individual to pray in his home. But the statement of the individual that if I do not hear the masjid, if I do not hear the adhan, what's intended is if the masjid is very far. But it is not so accurate because what if the masjid is close but the muaddin doesn't call the adhan that day? Does that mean it's permissible for you to pray in your home? No. So what is intended is, or what the criteria is the masjid far or is the masjid close? This is the criteria for whether the individual can pray at home or not.
أولا الحمد لله على ما وفق وهنيئا لكم اختيار هذه الرسالة لما فيها من الخير الكثير فيما يتعلق بالصلاة وبقية الأعمال البدنية الملحقة بها فأرجو أيضا أن يحرص الجميع عليها ويتفهموها ويفهموا ما تشتمل عليه رسالة الشيخ رحمة الله عليه الشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب وعنوانها آداب المشي إلى الصلاة لكنها أيضا أوسع من ذلك حسب مدلول الرسالة فالحقيقة أني أهنئكم مرة ثانية حسن الاختيار لأن تكون موضع الدراسة. وأسأل الله جل وعلا أن ينفعنا جميعا بما نسمع ونقول من الخير، وأن يصدنا جميعا عن الشر في كل الأمور، كما أسأله بأسمائه وصفاته أن يعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأن يذل الكفر والكافرين والمنافقين، وأن يجيرنا من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن، وأن يرفع عن المسلمين في كل مكان المحن والمذلات، وأن يوفق المسلمين في كل مكان لإخلاص العبادة لله جل وعلا، والحرص على أن يعدوا صلواتهم كما صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد قال: صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي، كما أسأله سبحانه أن يعاجل المظلومين المقهورين في الشام بالخروج من هذه المحنة. ثم على المسلم أن يتفكر في الغرب والشرق، سكوتهم عما يحصل في الشام من تدمير البيوت أو في فلسطين وسفك الدماء والقتل، ليس خاصاً بالمقاتلين الذين يقاتلون النظام، لا، القتل لمن في البيوت من نساء وذرية وغير ذلك. فالكفر لن يرضى عن المسلم، وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد قال الله جل وعلا: ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع لهم. اليهود يشترك معهم أهل الشرك الأكبر، والنصارى تبع الجميع. الله يقول: لتجدن أشد الناس عداوة للذين آمنوا اليهود والذين أشركوا. فنسأل الله جل وعلا أن يعاجل المظلومين في الشام وفي فلسطين وفي العراق، وأن يطفئ الفتن من اليمن ومصر وليبيا وبقية الأقطار الإسلامية، وأن يفرج كربات أهل شرق آسيا الذين يحكمهم المشركون البوذيون، أن يعاجلهم بالنصر والتمكين والهداية والاستقامة. كما أسأل الله جل وعلا أن يحفظ على هذه البلاد المملكة السعودية، أن يحفظ عليها أمنها على دينها ودنياها، وأن يوفق ولاة أمرها لنصرة الحق وإذلال الباطل وصيانة العقيدة ودوام تحكيم الشريعة وحراسة الأخلاق الإسلامية بأن لا تمتهن، لا فيما يتعلق بالنساء ولا فيما يتعلق بالسفهاء الفتيان والرجال الذين يتأثرون بالأخلاق الغربية أو الشرطية. فالكفر في مجمله ملة واحدة، كما أسأل الله جل وعلا بكم مرة ثانية أن يحقق للجميع صفاء الإيمان وصدق التمسك بسنة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن يجيرنا جميعا من الفتن، ويجير ضرارينا وقراباتنا وأحبابنا من الفتن، إنه سبحانه وتعالى مجيب الدعاء. وآخر الدعوان أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
The Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. We praise Allah Azza wa Jal for allowing us to choose this treatise, because which is related to Salat and other actions. And we hope from all of you that you're very diligent in understanding it and that which is present in it, its content,
because the name of the treatise is the etiquettes of walking to the prayer, but it is more than that. So this is a good selection for us to study. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to benefit us with that which we read and that which we hear and that which we say. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to protect us. We ask Allah by His names and attributes to protect us from all evil. We ask Allah to give might and glory to Islam and to debase the kufr, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla allows us to establish the sincere tawheed, and that everyone is diligent in praying as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, pray as you see me pray. So ask Allah to make us fulfill that obligation. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give ease to those who are being oppressed in Syria, and that their oppression is lifted and removed from them. And it is upon all of the Muslims in the East and in the West to think about how they're being quiet about the oppression in Syria, because verily the oppression and the killing which is taking place there is not only for those who are opposing the government, but it is also for the families who are present, the innocent people who are present in their homes, they are also being killed. And verily, this belief would not be content with any of us. As Allah said in the Quran, that the Jews and the Christians will not be pleased with you until you follow their religion. So, and Allah mentioned that those who you will find to be the strongest enemies to you are the Jews and those who commit shirk. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give ease to the people of Sham, to give ease to the people of Syria, to give ease to the people of Palestine, to give ease to the people that are being oppressed in Iraq, and as well as in Asia, that Allah Azza wa Jal gives them ease and removes the oppression, those who are being ruled by the Buddhists. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give victory, to give them comfort, and we ask Allah to make them upright. And likewise, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to preserve the security and safety which is present in the Saudi Arabia. We ask Allah to protect our religion, to protect our worldly affairs, and to give the rulers the success to support the truth and to debase the evil. And we ask Allah to protect our aqidah, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to preserve the ruling by the Islamic legislation. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for them, the rulers, to be diligent in protecting the Islamic character and personality, especially that of the women, them from being deviated, and also from the youth, the Muslim youth, to become deviated and to follow the Western character. For verily, kufr is one path. So once again, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for all of us to protect and purify our iman, and to make us sincere followers, and to make us from those who truly adhere to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to protect our family members and our relatives and those who are beloved to us. And our last supplication, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family members and companions.